in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in the 70s. You know that, right?
Yeah.
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 I was born there.
You just made it. You just barely made it.
I was born there.
That was Rick James with the song Mary Jane.
Okay. This episode has nothing to do with Mary Jane.
No, the lady.
The character from Spider-Man
comics. Character from the Spider-Man
comics.
Yeah,
that's exactly all I'm talking about. Or the candies.
Right.
And they're Mary Jane candies?
Yeah, I think so.
Mary Jane's? Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's a new episode of Action Features. But you didn't expect this because we didn't expect it either.
We had no...
We had no idea today was the day we were supposed to record. I spent the whole week with a dumb look on my face. Like, oh, it's another week off.
Nope.
And then you came into the room today and you said, oh, you're recording tonight, right? I said, what?
We didn't know.
We didn't know. And then we had to look and see what day we put up the last one, and it was 2 weeks ago. So look at us, man. We're still going to do it.
Hey, you know we're going to do it.
You know we're unprepared.
Hey, has it ever stopped us before?
No. We do every show unprepared.
That's right.
I do want to do a quick shout out here.
To
Alpha Trion 92.
Yeah.
I don't know his real name.
That is his real name.
He's commented on my YouTube channel. He's consistently comments on there, always nice. And he all the time comments at actionfeatures.net. Like almost in every podcast he leaves a quick comment, which is so appreciated, man. I get really excited when I do see that there's a comment, that somebody has taken the time to leave a comment. And man, when I see his name pop up, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. He listens to the show consistently. He's always kind with his words.
His
he gives
words.
Great feedback. So I just wanted to say that I really do appreciate that he takes the time to actually go to actionfeatures.net and leave the comment. Talking on the Facebook page is awesome. I think that's great. But to take the time to actually go to the page, and you got to sign into Google to leave the comment, you're taking extra steps, man.
I would respond there, but I'm not logged in. I don't have an account.
Yeah, you have to have a Google account to
even
comment.
I can't do it,
but
I see him.
You see him.
I see them.
His last one was very nice. He put, well, I don't know why people aren't leaving feedback in here, and I do because it's kind of a hassle, and he goes the extra mile. You guys are one of the best podcasts anywhere. This day and age, TV stinks, comic books stink, movies stink. So your podcast is one of the most entertaining things going right now.
Right on.
So if you ever stop doing the podcast, I might have to throw myself in front of a parked car to try and end it all. A parked car.
A parked car. I didn't catch that.
He's going to keep throwing himself into it repeatedly.
He's got to try.
He's not going to go too far, you know. He's like, okay,
I'll
do a parked car.
It's not worth that much.
Yeah, it's...
That's
come on, guys.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is.
I feel like I'm...
We weren't going to do the Today Show until we saw that comment. And we're like, oh.
I feel like I'm Keanu Reeves on the bus.
Yeah.
And you got to keep it going now.
Keep it going 55, you know?
And if...
If it goes under, Sandra Bullock is going to be upset.
Yeah. You know? You're Sandra Bullock.
Alpha Trion 92 is Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I hope
we're both Keanu Reeves. Yeah. You're Keanu and I'm Reeves.
Okay, I like that.
Together we make Keanu Reeves.
I like that better because really you're no Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I'm no Sandra Bullock, but Alpha Trion 92 is. We don't know. Maybe he is Sandra Bullock.
Maybe it is.
It could be her.
I hope it is her.
Hey.
Alpha Trion 92, if you are Sandra Bullock, just give me, let you know.
Yeah. Just give us like a clue that it's you. You know, just like a hint. Something only Sandra Bullock and us would know.
Right.
All right, so it's just going to be a random episode. We were going to do a themed episode. We were like, oh, we could do this theme. But really doing a themed episode, we should prepare more, you know?
It shouldn't be
your pants.
To do them justice, I think. Yeah. Maybe we'd have to.
The two that we had thought about doing, though, just to let you guys know in the future, is either a Judge Dredd episode, focusing on, you know, the Judge Dredd comics, toys,
the movies,
two films, or the Terminator franchise. You know, covering all the same deal, the movies, and most of that would just be movies and toys. Maybe a TV show a little bit.
I forgot.
So that was our two choices and stuff that we will tackle eventually. I think Terminator will do...
Probably do Terminator first.
Yeah, because that's some of the things I have on here is talking about Terminator stuff. You want to just launch right in?
Why not?
All right. So there is a bunch of Terminator news that's happened in the last, like, 2 weeks. They finally... made like an official announcement as to Terminator 2 3D actually starting to be shown, the 3D re-release of Terminator 2. And it's at some film festival. I don't know what it is, but it's somewhere overseas. But Terminator 2 3D will be shown for the first time there in the middle of February, end of February, something like that. That was supposed to happen last year, the 3D re-release of Terminator, because it was the 25th anniversary. But I guess it didn't happen in time, so they are doing it this year instead. And it's going to be shown first there, and then everybody's assuming that it'll be then in a wider release in the States and overseas and everything. That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
I, you know, not a huge 3D fan.
Yeah.
But just to see Terminator 2 on the big screen again.
That would be cool.
Like, when I buy a movie ticket, I know I'm going to have a great time if Terminator 2 is showing
me. I want to be taken to the third dimension myself.
You might as well go into the third dimension while you're there.
Yeah.
If you're checking out Terminator 2, hey, go ahead and bring all three of your Ds with
you. I'm tired of living this 2D life.
It's terrible having to live like that. So everything's flat.
We don't know what happens in the third
dimension.
Things
aren't coming out at you at all. Everything's just there.
We don't know what happens in the third dimension. It's a mystery.
Yeah, this podcast really needs to switch to 3D.
Yeah.
Right now we're 1D.
Yeah.
What is 1D?
We should do 3D.
We should do a 3D. So that's cool.
It's cool.
That is cool. And I'm looking forward to taking the boys to see that at the movie theater.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun. The next bit of news was that James Cameron, it's going around that he's returning to the franchise because the Terminator rights are really crazy. Oh, Terminator 2 almost didn't happen because the rights were so entangled from the first Terminator. The Terminator 2 took a while to happen because the rights were everywhere.
Unless you want to do toys, in which case it's a free-for-all.
You go crazy.
Anybody who wants it.
Well, they got cleared up. Terminator 2 happened, and then the rights switched hands again and again, and then some other company got it due to Terminator Genesis. But the rights revert back to James Cameron in 2019. Like, okay. He gets them back, which is, I guess, 35 years after Terminator 1, which is kind of crazy to think about that.
That Cybertron takes 35 over.
35 years. But he gets him back, and he does have plans to move forward with the franchise. I don't know how much of this is true, but every site was reporting that he's in talks with Tim Miller, who is the director of Deadpool, to talk about the future of the franchise and what they're going to do with it beginning in 2019.
Hmm.
He's got a lot of stuff to do with Avatar still, too, so yeah. I don't know.
I would have a big written on my list of things to do would be scrap Terminator franchise.
Yeah, stop.
It good. Move on.
We'll get into this more when we do the Terminator episode, but really, it's one of the franchises that it's crazy that it's called a franchise at this point because there's only really been two truly great things that have come out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not counting toys and merchandising. I'm not counting that. But somewhat counting that, there's not like a lot of... With Star Wars, you had all those books that kept it alive for a long time, and there's a lot of great books. There's a lot of great comics from Dark Horse, Marvel, huge runs of that. That kind of kept the franchise alive during the non-movie years. Terminator does not have that.
Yeah.
I can't think of any really truly great Terminator books, like novels, or any great Terminator comics. Dark Horse has handled it.
What do they have, five movies now and the TV series?
Five films and the TV series. The TV series, I thought the first season was really solid.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that quite a bit. The second season was kind of up and down, kind of lost its footing along the way. And only two out of the five films are worth watching.
In our humble opinions.
Yeah, we did a whole Terminator Genesis episode. Yeah. We tore it apart, and it deserved it. Yeah. I tried to watch it again the other day, and it was like, this is so horrible.
Yeah.
And Terminator 3 isn't any better. It's also horrible.
It's not
watchable. Terminator Salvation isn't a terrible movie. It's just not a very good Terminator movie.
It's more of a spinoff.
Yeah, it's more like a just post-apocalyptic war type movie, which is fine. I mean, it's just not a good Terminator movie.
It really should have just ended with two.
It should have. It had a perfect ending. Yeah. Terminator 3 did this whole thing that erased Terminator 2. Terminator 2 was pointless after Terminator 3.
Yeah.
You just basically said, oh, well, it doesn't matter what we're doing. You're never going to stop it. So all that Terminator 2 stuff didn't even matter? We could have just not done it because it's going to happen anyway?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's stupid. Well, I don't go too much into it, but we'll
get on to that.
That James Cameron... I guess, though, that if there's one guy that could maybe put out one good Terminator film still, it'd be James Cameron because he did the two good ones.
Maybe. He also did Avatar.
He also did Avatar, though, so there's that. But he also did Aliens, so there's that.
That was... I'd say he peaked in the 90s.
He did. I mean, I won't say that Titanic is a bad film.
Titanic is not a bad film.
It's not a bad film.
But that was in the 90s, too.
True Lies, great.
True Lies is great.
Yeah, but he has had some great films. You're saying he peaked in the 90s, but really, what all has he done other than Avatar that we can look at and go, that's not very good?
That's what I'm basing it on.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, though. I also think Avatar is... It's ridiculous that it was such a success.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
But if he gets back to the James Cameron that gave us True Lies and Aliens and Abyss and Terminator 1, Terminator 2, all those films, then maybe we'll get a good one more good film. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? The last bit of Terminator news was that NECA has announced the quarter scale T-800 from Terminator 2. And he looks awesome.
That's 12 inches of playtime, guys.
18 inches of playtime.
12 inches of toys.
It looks really awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, when it first got posted, a lot of people were saying, oh, there's no way it's going to be bare bones, and there's no way to include the minigun or the rocket launcher, and it won't include this. And so then they put out the pictures, and it's got everything. It's got the rocket launcher, or the grenade launcher, the bandolier, the shotgun, the minigun. It's got everything.
Next time, NECA's Chuckles.
I got to chump you out.
Use the rocket launcher.
Trust in NECA.
NECA.
It's one of the only toy companies that's getting it, man.
Yeah.
It's doing it right. I got that quarter scale Donatello. Oh man,
that is so cool.
Man, that thing is great.
It looks like it's straight from the movie.
It looks
so good.
We've seen a lot of toys over the years, a lot of stages of prototypes of a toy to production. And almost always, you know, you look at a hand painted prototype and it's like, well, it won't look that good in production, but it'll still look pretty good. And NECA's done that great. I mean, they still are a little bit down from what the prototype was. But in this case, it looks just like the prototype.
It looks fantastic.
Like, it looks fantastic. Blew me away, man. That is an amazing figure. I can't wait for the rest of them.
It's really cool.
Really, really cool. All right, what do you got?
They're almost big enough to eat real pizza.
Pizza brain.
Pizza brains.
Pizza brains.
What do I have?
I'll snack while you talk.
All right, we got tortilla chips going tonight. There's some Cheez-Its here. And some no-bake cookies.
You put all these together, you make yourself a snack mix.
That my friend's mom sent these. I'm amazed that people will send a good, nice freezer bag.
Those are expensive.
A freezer Ziploc bag.
You get like 10 of those
with
in a box.
With a white box that you can write on.
Yeah.
For, that's to a write keeper. On. That's.
You wrap those up in aluminum foiling them to somebody.
She's giving them out. Yeah. She's
giving them out willy-nilly.
She's passing them out like the regular.
What's your last name, Ziploc?
Like the regular sandwich bags or something. That's
is
going
from the Ziploc family.
Going the extra mile, yeah, I think so. They're heirs to
is this
the
Mrs. Freshly.
Yeah. Well, I didn't make it.
I
with
keep
the,
everything freshly.
The pastries weren't that successful, but I did manage to snag a deal with the Ziploc company. Oh yeah.
Oh, these chips are great.
Oh, those are good after one of these no bakes. Do no bakes go bad? I don't know.
How long have you been in there?
I don't know.
They been in the Ziploc?
Yeah. I just ate one. It was fine.
They're fine.
All right. Hellboy, the reaction figures are up for sale now.
Yeah.
I think. They look really cool.
I was just about to mention that to you.
They are $15.
They're $15, which hurts.
Man. I could not pay $10 for those before.
They're a smaller production run.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to mass market stores. So yeah. In that regard, it's the same with the He-Man. Their He-Man figures didn't go to stores.
I see.
And they were 15 each.
I see.
So it's, you know, the smaller the production run, the more expensive it takes to make them.
That makes sense.
Carbacks are cool.
Very
I
cool.
like that the sculpting is kind of Mignola-esque. It looks a little bit like,
yeah.
You know, his drawings. I know Blaze wants those. I know he wants to get them.
But, oh, yeah.
Man, $60 is a lot for a 14-year-old to come up with for four figures, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. That might be a birthday gift or something.
Yeah, it could be.
Who knows? Other Hellboy news. You hear about the Guillermo del Toro thing?
Huh.
He posted on his Twitter, and he put, Hellboy 3, informal poll. You want to see it or not?
Yeah.
If I get 100,000 responses in 24 hours, I'll officially talk to Mike Mignola and Ron Perlman.
Why wouldn't you do that anyway?
He didn't think that there was an interest in it. Like he thought they moved far away from enough from it, and you know maybe the timing wasn't right, and you know, there were other projects that took precedence. But he said, you know, the fans kept asking him, and he's like, if there really is this demand, if I see this much demand for it, I will officially talk to him. And he got it, and so they started the talks about a possible Hellboy 3.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman's always pushed for it. Like,
right.
He wants to do
right.
Hellboy again. And he's not getting any younger, so
right.
If you're going to do it, you're going to need to do it soon.
I know the second one kind of...
I did not like the second one.
...kind of went down, but maybe it's good that there was some time in between then and now
yeah.
where you can step back, get a fresh look at the whole thing and the way of superhero comic
yep.
movies in general. And
the first one I love.
Yeah, the first one's really
good. The
first
one was a blast, and I really disliked the second one. I did not enjoy it at all. The only thing enjoyable to me was Ron Perlman as Hellboy. I thought the story was not as good. I thought it was way too... Guillermo del Toro type of movie and not enough of a Hellboy type of movie. Which is fine if you like Guillermo del Toro films. I want to see a Hellboy film, though. And I thought that Abe was treated poorly in that film. I don't think that they got the Abe character right. It's just, to me, it needs to be redeemed. I think they need to move away from the, oh, Liz has a baby Hellboy coming. Oh. Move away from that and just get back to a Hellboy movie. Maybe not even set it in modern time, continuing the other two films. Maybe just take another chunk of Hellboy's adventures that took place in between.
That would be cool.
World War II and present day. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
Like an Indiana Jones type of thing of him in a different time period between the two and just in like a period piece.
That'd be cool.
I would like that.
I think there's a new Hellboy comic or graphic novel coming out with Gary Gianni doing artwork.
A winter special just came in yesterday at the shop. I didn't flip through it.
Gianni's doing something with Hellboy, and I think that's pretty cool.
Once Mike Mignola moved away from it, I kind of lost interest, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I picked it up on a regular basis whenever he was doing it. But once it started becoming a different cast of writers and artists and all that, I was like, well. The thing that makes it special is Mike.
Yeah.
You know, so... No diss to those, but that's just for me personally. Yeah. That's what I was interested in. Speaking of comics, Marvel is releasing a free guide... They're doing send out the comics to help you understand how to read their books.
Oh.
Because they've done so many reboots now and so many issue ones and so many restarts that it's a guide how to read the books.
Thanks, Marvel.
Because there's so many volume ones now of like trade paperbacks, and there's so many issue ones where it's like volume 7, issue 1, where they've restarted to make basically to sell trades or to get a new number one to get a pop for an issue 1. That you can't understand what to pick up anymore. Like, you don't know what trade to pick up.
Yeah.
Because the trades aren't numbered right either. They don't just put them as numbers. It's, say, like, Amazing Spider-Man number 1, but then they change the title, so then it becomes, like, just Spider-Man number 1. So then you don't know which one of those to read first. So they're being nice and putting out a guide on how to read everything.
Very nice.
Instead of, you know, just maybe stopping doing that and just... number the books correctly, keep the same titles, keep the same numbers, and make the books good to keep selling them, that's probably the better way to solve it. But no, we'll put out this free guide so you can learn how to read our books.
Marvel.
Marvel.
I marvel at their business sense.
DC know better. Now, we just talked about this recently. Yeah. About the whole $2.99 pricing thing.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, we're dropping the books to $2.99. We're keeping them at $2.99. To make it affordable for you guys. By the way, we're going to make them come out twice a month so that you actually have to spend $6 instead of $4. So for the titles...
You guys like to spend
$6 instead of $4?
You guys like spending $6?
Well, you got two extra dollars in your wallet? We'll take it.
What are you guys doing?
We'll take those extra $2.
What are you guys doing with a $5 and a $1 bill?
So there were a few books, though, that... the lesser tiered books that couldn't be supported twice a month that were at $2.99 that are now going to be bumped up to $3.99. So any of the books that come out one time a month will go back to $3.99, and the only books that will stay at $2.99 are the ones you have to buy twice a month. Way to really save and take care of your customers, like you were saying, DC. Cool move.
Way to cut costs.
Cool move, DC.
They cut costs. Well, all right.
What you got?
What do I got? Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Season 9 is up now.
Season 9?
Yeah.
I thought that was a brand new show.
No, there's like 6 episodes, I think, per season. I just watched one today with Norm Macdonald in it. I love Norm Macdonald. It was so funny and so subdued. It was just like, it was great. So if anybody's into, I know I've plugged it on here before. It's just a great little... It's just nice. It just seems like you're hanging out with a couple of funny guys. So anyway, and if you like cars, they talk. There's some car stuff too. Anyway, that's great.
I think I've only watched one. I think I watched the Miranda Sings one. I think I watched that with the family because the kids like Miranda Sings and all that. But it was funny. Interesting concept for a show too.
Sometimes they get into some, like, I wouldn't say serious conversation, but. It's not all jokey, but it's just nice. It just has a nice feel to it, and I'm on board. Okay, I'll do a bad thing and then a good thing. And then
I have a bad thing. I have one really bad thing.
Uh-oh.
One mediocre thing. And two related things that are kind of cool.
Okay. Well, and on a good note. So, people are upset now because... it's stupid to even say it. People are upset because Mel Gibson is being nominated for Best Director for Hacksaw Ridge. And Casey Affleck is for something, too. And I don't even know who Casey Affleck is. Is he Ben's brother? Is it Ben Affleck's brother?
He is.
So what does he do? Is he Bat Boy?
He's Ben Affleck's brother. That's all he does.
That's what I thought he does. Well, I don't know what he did, but in the case of Mel Gibson, they're saying that the complaint is that this is basically proving or showing how willing Hollywood or how willing the establishment or the people or whatever you want to call it is to just sweep bad behavior under the rug for when it comes to men. When it comes to like white men or something like that. I don't know if it was white men, but men. And I thought it was about who directed the best film. I thought it was about directing movies and acting. I thought that's what the Oscars were for.
I thought they were
too. I didn't think we were giving out Nobel Peace Prizes for this. Is that what that's for?
Yeah.
It's just silly. It's silliness. Mel Gibson is a great director. Mel Gibson had some bad stuff happen. He said some things that I don't agree with. This all happened like 20 years ago now, or 15 years ago, or whenever it happened. He's been ostracized. He's been asked about it constantly. He's apologized numerous times. Even on this last film on Hacksaw Ridge, when he's going around doing the circuit, this movie is got a 10-minute standing ovation at Cannes Film Festival. Nobody can. He gets asked constantly still about, do you regret getting drunk?
Do you regret that?
Do you regret getting drunk and saying
terrible things?
Do you regret that?
Yes, I regret it.
I regret it. Look up the video footage of me saying I regretted it 10 years ago. This is not.
It's pretty ridiculous.
You know, while.
Roman Polanski.
That's what I was going to say. Roman Polanski rapes a 13-year-old girl. And gets a standing ovation for,
Meryl Streep gets
awarded.
Home, stands up for it.
I mean, it's like.
I don't want to get too political and too.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to get into politics, really. It's just. Man, what's happening? Mel Gibson is a fine director.
Fine actor.
He's a great actor. I would say he's a great director. And, you know, whatever problems, he didn't murder anybody, so.
It was words, and he apologized
for them. Look, if either you're going to have a. An award show for the stuff that happened in the film industry, or you're not. You know, if you want to have something else, then make it the people's choice of goody two shoes. Make it the goody two shoes award and be a couple of bronze shoes.
I just don't get if a person truly is apologetic.
Yeah,
and they've said on multiple occasions, "I'm sorry for what I did." You know, what point do you let it go? Whereas there's guys like, and I don't get too far into it again, but Chris Brown. That beats a woman up, and I don't remember him being all that apologetic, but he maybe apologized when it first happened.
I don't know anything about that.
Everybody's re-accepted him. Like, he's cutting records, and everybody buys his music, and you see him all the time. And Kanye West says terrible things about different people, and then just still sitting in the limelight, and people don't ask him about those things constantly.
Cutting fat tracks.
Why? When are we going to finally... Mel Gibson's the only one I can think of that they will not let him be. Like, they won't accept it.
Everybody else,
if they apologize or do something, we accept to move on.
Right.
But it's that guy, just that guy. Nobody's willing to accept to move on.
I really don't
get it.
I guess that's what bugs me about it. I don't know Casey Affleck. I don't know what he even did in the past. I don't really care. Except, but with Mel, I'm a fan of Mel. But what is it about him?
Yeah.
I mean, I lived through all
Robert Downey Jr. Terrible things.
Yeah, I lived through all that stuff. I remember hearing the recorded tapes and all that stuff, and it was like, okay, this is not good for Mel, but that was a long time ago. Like, why are we holding on to that?
I really don't get it.
And not...
Tim Allen was arrested for drug abuse, and he got a career, and everybody accepted it and moved on, and nobody ever asked him about it, because it's in the past.
Right.
He made mistakes, and he owned up to them, and he moved on.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is he the only one that they don't want to let move on? Like,
yeah.
He's not being unapologetic.
Right.
He's being completely apologetic.
Everybody who works with him says that he's, you know, great to work with, and he's a nice guy and all this stuff.
There's just something about that they won't let him move on. They just won't do it.
I don't know. I get under my skin. So that was a bad thing. What do you got?
Here's a bad thing. What about Bob remake?
What?
The television. Female-led cast.
What? Why?
Yep. Just saw that.
What? Well, why?
I didn't even bother to click on it because I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Man, that's got to be
it's some an kind NBC of prank. Comedy series.
It's a prank.
Female-led of What About Bob?
I'm really just upset about they're doing anything. What About Bob?
Me too. I don't. Can stop before even the female-led thing. I don't care about that.
Right.
It's the fact that What About Bob is a comedy film that still holds up, still funny. Is a self-contained story.
It's a one and done. That is not a TV
it's
series.
It's not a television series. Hmm. It doesn't need to be remade. It's just, when is Hollywood going to finally go that the remakes aren't working? People are not enjoying these remakes. They're not enjoying these reboots and remakes.
When people stop spending money, I guess.
Are they really spending that much money anymore?
I think
it seems like reboots and remakes keep failing.
I think they do, but I think they're still making money.
It's crazy.
To some degree, or at least breaking even.
It's crazy.
And that's sending the wrong message. And people are doing it and not even really enjoying it. I think a lot of people, they're spending the money to get the ticket. And once that money's spent, that's it. Whether they enjoy it or not doesn't mean anything. Well, that's terrible news.
For here on out, it's pretty much all good.
All right, good. Tom Brady.
I know nothing about sports.
I don't either. But for anybody, there's a picture, I don't remember where it showed up. There's a picture of Tom Brady sitting in this giant coat. He's what? I guess it's cold, and he's got the pads on and stuff, so maybe he had to do this.
Make extra big coats for that.
He obviously bought like this triple or quadruple XL coat, and he's wearing it. And so there's this photograph going around. Just Google Tom Brady giant coat. And it'll be like the first thing that pops up. He's sitting on the sidelines.
First thing that pops up.
I guess his teammates were kind of razzing him about it or something. But it's this giant coat. He looks absolutely ridiculous. I've never seen.
That's silly.
I mean, football's been going on for quite a while. I've never seen a coat that size. But I'm sure he's really warm in there.
He's a trendsetter.
He's probably got an igloo in there. He's probably
He's
probably got a little
got snacks in there.
A little propane heater with some hot chocolate going
on
in there.
He's got the hot air blanket.
He's got the hot air blanket going on. Yeah.
Yep.
Just maybe that's what it was. He had a little heater hooked up to the thing at the bottom.
It's inflating. It inflated. He's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. That's my interest in sports. Really, is when
silly pictures. When silly pictures happen, then you're invested.
When a guy wants to put a giant coat on, that's absurd. I'm in. Let me tune in for that.
All right. On the toy front, Super 7. We were talking about them earlier. They've also revealed their first four figures to continue the Master Universe Classics line.
I saw Hawk. I didn't know that there was a female Stratos.
There is.
Character.
Yeah, she was in different mediums, but not as like a main character. She's always been sort of a side character.
I figured she was a side character. Was she in the comics or the...
She was in the comics, and I believe... I don't know if they called her the same name in the Filmation stuff or not.
Do you think they're changing names to like bypass?
No, I don't think so. Let me because they include two heads with it. One that is one character.
Two heads are better than one.
And then one is the other. Hang on, you can keep talking while I look.
Two
this up.
Heads are better than one. It's double the pleasure, it's triple the fun.
Oh, yeah.
Bill and Ted, remember that song?
I do.
From Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like something else was getting remade. I don't know. I guess it's just me. It's just me for a few minutes, guys. Just give you a taste of what it would be like if it was just me doing the podcast.
Yeah, okay, so it is Hawk in Filmation, but I think her name was Delora somewhere else there.
Ah! I gotta get the Masters of the Universe. I gotta get the letter to Mattel.
Oh, yeah, you need that. Okay, so it's Hawk. It's Quake from New Adventures. Lodar from the one of the mini comics, and then another character that's like a Snake Man character, Fangor, I think his name is. But to me, it was like, okay, I know I walked away from the line a while back, but I'm still a He-Man fan, and I do love the He-Man characters. But to me, it just kind of was a little lackluster. Like, it wasn't like... If you're coming out of the gate and it's like, okay, we're taking over now and this is our first four offerings.
And you can do the same stuff that Mattel was doing, kind of?
Yeah, but at the same time, I also have to go, well, there's not much left to do. They really can't do a whole lot that's like, hey, here's something new without it being something really obscure.
Right.
And that might be tough to keep that line going because it is going to have to get so obscure now.
Yeah.
I was more excited about the ultimate versions they showed of re-releases of old figures.
Yeah, those were cool.
All the stuff and the packaging than I am about their new characters.
Because
if you're going to have to get really to the point where you're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get some characters going, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
The Hawk is a character that people have wanted for a long time. So that one of the four was probably the most appealing. Like, okay, well, that's something somebody's been asking, people have been asking for a long time. But the other three, it was just kind of like, oh man. This is a little rough.
Yeah.
This might be a little rough of a sale, but who knows, man? Maybe they're going to eat that up.
Maybe. So what I'm going to eat up is some of these Cheez-Its.
Eat some of those Cheez-Its. What do you got next?
Let's see. I only have one more thing written down.
I have a couple things. We're in 30 minutes already.
All right. Well, I got... Keep it hot. I got to get that list.
Are you making... Keep talking?
It's for Blaze. Yeah. Keep talking.
What do you mean the list?
Well, the letter to Mattel. Blaze says he's looking forward to more letters.
Yeah. All right. I'll try to think of something to talk about here.
Keep it hot.
Keep it hot.
Time me.
I'm not going to time you. All right. So, next thing I have to talk about is I just picked up another unlicensed Dread figure. There was the Art Figures Heavy Armor Special Cop, which was an unlicensed Dread figure from the Dread movie, the Carl Urban movie.
Special Cop, yeah.
Yeah, so they did that. Art Figures did the Heavy Armored Special Cop, which was Dread, the Carl Urban Dread.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is doing licensed figures for the Dread movie. So they did an unlicensed 1/6 scale one, and it's great. Awesome figure. They then re-released him in like a bluish type of outfit because the first one sold out. Then they did a Judge Anderson, and another company's doing a Judge Anderson from the film. So you've got the Art Figures Judge Anderson, and you've got another company, I can't remember what it is, that's doing the Epic Cop or something like that, which is their version of Judge Anderson from the film. And then Art Figures is also doing, I can't remember which judge it is, but one of the judges that's one of the bad judges from the movie, and I can't remember which one they're doing.
Judge Darn.
Yeah, I think it is. It's Judge Darn.
Judge Darn.
Judge Darn it. But it just goes to show, like, man, that's a lot of unlicensed stuff for this movie, where if somebody company would have stepped up and done it, they probably would have done great. It's crazy that that film has enough of a following that one company has released 4 1/6 scale kind of high-end figures and found a market for every one of them,
yeah.
And another company's jumping on and doing it too. Like, it's like, man, that's...
The movie seems to have a strong following.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened the first time around, except for maybe...
Advertising.
Mismarketing.
Horrible marketing.
Yeah.
Horrible marketing on that movie. Yeah. I saw one ad for it.
Yeah.
And even that, it didn't convey really what the film was going to be, but man, horrible marketing on that movie. They didn't know what to do with it.
Right. Yeah, it's too bad. They were talking about doing the possibilities of doing a show, like a Netflix type show, or...
When that one, there was one article that said it's happening as a Netflix show, which is an April Fool's joke, I think.
Yeah.
Which is lame. Don't do April Fool's jokes for people, stuff that people really wanted.
Yeah, don't.
That's stupid. Speaking of 2000 AD, I just watched, there's a documentary on 2000 AD called Future Shock, the story of 2000 AD, and it goes into the creation of the 2000 AD comic, and, you know, back in the late 70s, all the way up through today, and how the comics and that company has kind of stayed afloat and kept that book going through some lean times. It was a really good documentary, man.
Future Shock.
Yeah, it was really cool hearing, you know, where they came from, where comics were over in England, because we live in America,
yeah.
So that perspective on things was very interesting to hear what their comics were like during the 70s, and how the market was for them to create 2000 AD, and then flowing into the 80s, and then DC coming over and, like, basically headhunting all their top guys, like getting Brian Bolland, getting Alan Moore, and getting Grant Morrison, and taking all their guys away, and 2000 AD kind of became this comic that would almost just be, when Pat Mills was the editor, he was saying, I would look for new talent, and I would think, how long am I going to be able to keep this guy before Vertigo steals him from me. Which has got to be a hard thing to deal with. Like, you want to bring in new talent, but at the same time, you know, if you bring in a new talent and he's successful, they're going to steal him.
Where can one see this documentary?
You can get it off iTunes or Amazon. You can buy it, rent it off there. It's like $4 or $3 to rent it or something. It was good, man. Yeah. It's like an hour and a half. A lot of big names from comics that you don't get to hear guys from the comics really get involved in documentaries and actually be talking to you.
Shockumentaries.
Yeah, it's usually like the movie-making guys that get all the documentaries. But this is all straight comics. They talk about the Judge Dredd 90s film and what it did for him. And they talk about the Carl Urban film. But I think the most interesting thing was really the whole DC headhunting and how they survived it and what happened to the books and kind of the animosity that some creators had towards each other. It was good. It was really good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Future Shock.
Future Shock. Sounds good. I think I'll rent that. I think I'll try and see that with my eyes.
Check it out with your eyes, man. Check it out with your eye brains.
Yeah. I use my eye brains. All right. Okay. I'll do the letter to Mattel now. So I went and got it. I'll do that one now. All right. Okay. Here it is. Dear Mattel, well, the ideas keep coming, but your responses do not. I'm almost fed up with sharing them, but a big part of me believes your silence might be a sign that you have a team working on my previous ideas. Hey, I've been thinking.
Hey.
The line needs a reboot. He-Man needs a partner.
The line needs a reboot. The line hasn't started for you.
Right. Getting ahead of myself. Yeah. The line needs a reboot. He-Man needs a partner and some comic relief. Check it. He-Man. Shocks Eternia with his normalcy and average weaknesses. Can't do all the things He-Man can do. Give it some thought. You'd save money on the outfit and not having to sculpt as many muscles. Gentlemen, the ball is in your proverbial court. Also, Ratman, Cap...
I was going to say, is He-Man the only one on that one? No. Here's the other ones.
I'm just throwing them out. Ratman, Catmandu, Batman, Heroid, beefed up a lot.
Heroid.
The franchise... This is where the money is, fellas.
Yep, that's
here. And Skeletor, evil villain with a ghost face. I await your answer. You have 24 hours.
It didn't work out, though. You gave him 24 hours to respond.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What else you got? Is that it?
Well, I have one more thing, it's going to be controversial.
Oh, man.
It's not really, maybe, but...
Okay.
It's not a serious topic, but my views on it might be... Well, no, maybe not. Okay, so it's about Star Wars.
So you're kind of building this up again, like you did with The Secret for Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Star Wars.
I like Star Wars, guys.
Star Wars. Okay? All right. Get off my back. I don't even want to talk about it. Star Wars released the title for Episode 8, and it's The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
I know you like it. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. It seems a little bit
I like it.
It seems a little lazy to me.
Yeah.
But the thing that I saw was people are Star Wars. The logo's red. We've never seen a red logo, Star Wars logo before. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, I've cracked the case.
It means it's red.
I've cracked the case, fellas. I'm gonna tell everybody. You can feel free. I'm giving this for free. You can share it with your friends if you like to. It means that the marketing company, the marketing group at Disney, is doing their job. And coming up with new logos, new graphic design work to correspond with the films. And since the title has Jedi in it, just like Return of the Jedi did, which was red, by the way.
Yeah. I was going to say, we have seen red.
And they also did Revenge of the Sith, which was hearkening back to Return of the Jedi, originally being titled Revenge of the Jedi, which is also a red logo. So this has Jedi in it, and it's red. So it's not a surprise. Whatever it means is not going to be a surprise. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know if it's like these news outlets trying to drum up things, but I don't know. It's kind of, what does it mean?
I'm more interested in the fact that Jedi can be singular or plural.
Yeah.
So it could mean the last Jedi, as in him and Rey.
Yeah.
It could mean just him. It could mean anything.
Yeah.
But and that's what a title should be. It should leave it kind of open-ended, like, okay, well, that's got me interested.
Yeah.
It's, what does this mean? Could it be this? Is it talking about him? Is it talking about them? Does it mean if he dies? Does it mean this? I'm more focused on that than I am the color of the logo.
Luke is probably, if you take a straightforward reading of Force Awakens, Luke is the last Jedi.
Yeah,
he's
the
last
one. Yeah, it says in the beginning crawl.
If you take your assumptions based on what's going to happen in the future, there will be another Jedi mm-hmm. after him, and it's, you know, Rey is probably going to be it. As a matter of fact, she pretty much reached Jedi status in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So, if you're taking, if you mean the logos with the Star Wars and then the title in the center, which started with Force Awakens, the only other official Wars movie that's out, then yes, this
didn't
is the
have red.
This is the first red one that we've seen.
Yep.
Otherwise,
it's just, you still haven't seen Rogue One, right?
I still haven't seen it.
Man. It'd be nice to talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
I like the title.
Yeah.
It's not enough to get me super, super jazzed. Like, Empire Strikes Back. That's a title that grabs you.
That's a
like,
title.
There's action to it. It's got me curious, the title does. But, I mean, no, I know Luke is in the movie already, so I already know that something's happening with Luke. But I do like the mystery of it.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, I do like to be surprised in these movies. I don't want to go into it knowing everything.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot with, say, you know, going from A New Hope to Empire Strikes Back. You knew the Empire was going to strike back. You know they were going to fight back. You knew it was going to happen. So the title saying The Empire Strikes Back, even though it's exciting, it's something you knew was going to happen in the film. This next movie, I really don't know what's going to happen. Like, I assume that, you know, his Resistance guys are going to come back, or the Resistance are going to have to fight Kylo Ren's guys, but there's so many, like, things in that, at the end of Force Awakens that are left open-ended, that I like that the title isn't spelling it out for me ahead of time, like, the return of Kylo Ren, or, you know, the Resistance dies, or something like that, that would completely spoil something that I really don't know going into it. The only thing I really know is that Luke's there, and Luke's the last Jedi, so this title is, to me, working, because it's not spoiling a film that we really don't have any clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not spoiling anything, for sure.
Yeah. That was a long-winded way of saying that, but...
It's all right.
That's what I like about the title.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Do you like the title?
I'm okay with the title.
I was talking to you, I was talking to them.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys like the title?
Do you guys like the title?
Yeah.
I know you're just okay with the title.
I'm okay with it.
You're non-plus.
I'm non-plus by it.
Yeah.
It seems like...
You're subtracted by
it. It's partly not Star Wars' fault, because it's something like Return of the Jedi. If you look at that now, if that title was out now, if that was used now, you'd say, okay, big deal.
We know he's coming back.
It was a return of... Everything is a return of something now, right? But back in 83... There weren't too many sequels. It was like kind of a big deal. So it seems like now the last, whatever, fill in the blank, everything is the last of something. It's the last man standing. It's the last Starfighter, whatever. I don't know. It just seems like we really don't know what to call this. So
well,
we know there's another movie after it. So
we know it.
It's, you know, it's not, you know, but they should have called it Carrie Fisher World.
They should have.
Star Wars, a Carrie Fisher world.
A Carrie world.
And this is our tribute movie.
This is the tribute to Carrie world. I just forgot. There's one other thing I want to talk about.
But I'm okay with it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's not like... I didn't like Attack of the Clones. I thought that was a weak title.
Yeah.
That was probably my least favorite of all the titles. It's my least favorite of all the movies, too, I think.
Yeah.
Nick let me borrow this documentary.
Yeah.
Called King of Kong.
Yeah.
It's about these guys that... are competing for the world title on Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Really?
It's mesmerizing. These people that are involved in this arcade championship world. And the record holder from like 1983, Billy Mitchell. And how much of a villain he is in the movie without knowing he's the villain of the movie. And him trying to maintain his score without actually competing. It's a really good documentary. If you can get a hold of King of Kong. So I'm recommending two documentaries, Future Shock and King of Kong.
I think I saw that. It was called Wizards. It had Fred Savage
it's
in
not,
it.
No, it's not that one. Oh. That's the movie that that's based on.
Okay.
Yeah, Wizards.
That's my favorite documentary.
Yeah, it's really good, especially when they get the power glove.
Yeah.
Man, that thing is bad.
Well, man, when you want to talk about things that help you play a video game...
You talk about the power glove, man.
You're talking about the power glove.
Yeah, so King of Kong and Future Shock. Watch those two documentaries. That's all I got.
Oh, okay.
But we're at 45 minutes, so we went pretty much a full run. Oh, happy belated birthday to Keaton. He just had a birthday 2 days ago. 10 years old now.
How old is he now, 10?
He's 10 years old.
I knew it.
Yep.
Well, happy birthday, Keaton.
Whoa.
You're now 10 years old.
Did that pop?
Well, don't worry, it was just a little bit of snap and crackle and pop there.
Popped like it was hot.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Signing off.
All right, James and Mike, signing off. Action Features. Bye.